Hey, thanks for tuning in. Today I talked to Raj Grover. He's the president and CEO of a company called High Tide. But if you're a consumer like me, you probably know them better as Canna Cabana.
3, 2, 1. This is the Insiders Podcast.
All right. If you've been reading the latest cannabis business news, you probably already heard that High Tide, aka Canna Cabana, has merged with Metagrowth, aka New Leaf Cannabis, making them the biggest legal cannabis retailers in the country. Raj joined me to talk about the merger and what it means for the stores. He also talks a bit about his own life, how he got involved in the cannabis space, and what the future holds in store for the company. No pun intended. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Insiders Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast, Raj.
Thank you, Michael. Very excited to be here.
Thank you. Glad to have you. Can you start off by telling us a little bit about yourself? Who are you?
So I'm the founder, president, and chief executive officer of High Tide Inc. Came from India 20 years ago, started my first business at 21. The High Tide story begins sort of in 2009 when I started an independent smoke shop chain called Smoker's Corner, then founded a company called RGR, which is our distribution company, in 2011. Mm-hmm. Famous Brands in 2016, which is also manufacturing and distributing proprietary and licensed smoking accessories. And then vended all of the companies together in one, what we call High Tide today, and took it public in 2018.
Nice. Smoker's Corner, I've seen all over the place here in Alberta. And then you have been manufacturing accessories for the cannabis space now for what, a decade maybe?
About 11 years now.
How did you figure out that market? Like, how did you identify that was a place that you wanted to do business in?
You know, that's I got a really interesting story about it. So I was in the fashion industry prior to that. And one of my trips in India, I came across the wholesale market where I was trying to buy body jewelry, but came across consumption accessories. And when I, you know, checked out, I had a bit of knowledge about what these items were, although I was never a cannabis user prior. You know, I did have some knowledge about the accessories and what the price points were in Canada. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at it in India, it was pretty much, you know, you pick up the glass you want, you put it up on a weighing scale, and you basically go home with it. And, you know, just to give you an example, if the wholesale price of a pipe in Toronto was $7 and it retailed for $20, that same pipe was 35 cents in India. So I was like, okay, I'm in the wrong business. I need to explore this a bit further. That's how it all started.
So you chose that avenue, cannabis, I suppose, and accessories, and then started Smoker's Corner. Started selling your products, and now you are a manufacturer and distributor yourself of products. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. So started my retail store, but the plan was I come from a family of traders.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole family's been to export-import, my grandfather, my dad, and myself in the fashion accessories world. Mm-hmm. So for myself, it was always reverse engineering. You know, I needed the capital to buy it in bulk or volume. And I just saw it I thought it was best to reverse engineer it, understand the industry better, open up a retail store or two, see how that works out, and then organically build the company from there. So I started the first retail store, which was only 500 square feet. But I was from the fashion accessories background. So, you know, I built it a very high-end store with tinted mirrors and pot lighting and hardwood floor. And I put paraphernalia in there. And when customers came in, they're like, wow, what is this? We've never seen a smoke shop or a head shop like that. So, and that was just out of, you know, my fashion sense, not so much my accessory sense, but from there I graduated and further down trips to Southeast Asia, discovered a lot more and started my distribution company, which is RGR. I only started that with 200 SKUs and today we have upwards of 5,000 SKUs. So we've come a long way.
Wow, I read that. Okay, before we jump into Canna Cabana, one more question. I saw on your website that you guys have licensing agreements with Snoop Dogg, Trailer Park Boys, a whole bunch of celebrities. How did you go about getting that? And are you guys the only exclusive, I guess, distributors of products with their official names?
That's a great question. So, you know, I was particularly excited about this concept when we first started. So in 2016, I co-founded the company called Famous Brands. Mm-hmm. And that was co-founded with two gentlemen from Toronto. And my expertise was the procurement and the sourcing and the manufacturing of accessories. And they had the contacts with the studios. And we got together and approached the studios. We approached Paramount Pictures. We approached Snoop, showed them the quality of accessories we were talking about. cloud. They got very excited about it. And we signed worldwide agreements with both Paramount Pictures, Trailer Park Boys, and Snoop Dogg in some capacity in North America and also now in Europe.
Wow. Well, Snoop Dogg is no small deal. So I guess you put yourself in a position moving towards legalization where you were in a good spot to open up actual cannabis retail stores. And High Tide, your store by brand name is Canna Cabana. Correct?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
So you've recently merged with MetaGrowth, which the retail name is New Leaf. That's how I know them. I don't know the company names. So Canna Cabana and New Leaf are now one company. What does that mean? And where does that put you from an infrastructure perspective?
So, you know, both Canna Cabana and New Leaf stores were the early adopters after legalization in Alberta. We were sort of first to market.
Yeah.
And we're very similar stores in terms of size and footprint of what we have in Alberta. We're both major chains in Alberta. And yes, we recently did the merger with MetaGrowth. And now that we integrate, we plan to bring everything under the Canna Cabana brand. So the Canna Cabana brand has garnered a lot of good customer feedback and goodwill. And, you know, we are the one-stop shop of accessories. That's how we position ourselves with the variety of accessories that we have.
Okay.
And we see an opportunity in both New Leaf and Meta stores to accessorize them a lot better. So we're going to bring them into the Canna Cabana brand family and accessorize them to our standards on where they need to be. And eventually going forward, it'll all be a singular brand. It's just easier for marketing. You know, you can really put your weight behind it. You can really promote one brand versus, you know, two or three brands. So the future will be Canna Cabana and organic growth. And we'll also be doing some rebranding with New Leaf and Meta stores.
Cool. So at present, I speak for Alberta. I think the maximum number of stores you can have for one organization is 42. You guys are over that number, or you were upon merging. What are you going to do? Are you going to get rid of some stores to make that number?
Yes. So we have to do that to make the transaction go through.
Okay.
We have shut down about 7 stores, but these are 7 unprofitable stores between the two companies, which is an ideal situation. We got to high grade our portfolio out of necessity.
Yeah.
So that's sort of worked out. So we will be, by the time the transaction closes, which should be somewhere around first week of November, we should be at 42 stores in Alberta, which is the maximum allowed in Alberta.
Wow. And you've got 2, I think, in Ontario at this point. Is that correct?
No, we actually have 9 in Ontario.
Oh, now 9.
Well, 7 on the High Tide side and 2 on the Meta side.
Oh.
So, you know, we are the leader in the Ontario market today.
Okay.
And that's very exciting because, you know, that's the most lucrative market in Canada and the most underserved market in Canada.
It underserved big time. How has it been doing retail business in Ontario?
Oh, phenomenal. I mean, Ontario market is generating 5-folds of what Alberta does. And that's simply because of, you know, the mathematics. It's 15.2 million people in Ontario with 120 stores, versus you look at Alberta, which is 4.2 million people with over 500 stores now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a lot of room to grow in Ontario. That's the low-hanging fruit for us. So we're very focused on growing in Ontario going forward.
So where can we find Canna Cabana in Canada then? What provinces?
So you've got Canna Cabana in Alberta. So we have a very heavy presence in Alberta. I think we have 27 stores in Alberta now. We just opened our most recent location in Banff. A beautiful location. You should check it out. It's on Banff Avenue.
Okay.
We're the only 2 stores on Banff Avenue. So we get a lot of exposure there. We've got stores in Saskatchewan. So we've got 2 stores in Saskatchewan, 1 in Tisdale, 1 in Swift Current. And then we have 7 in Ontario, like I mentioned, in Niagara Falls, Hamilton, Sudbury, and there's like 4 in Toronto now.
So would it be safe to say that really Ontario is where you guys are going to focus your efforts over the next year or two?
Ontario is going to allow, it does allow 75 stores per entity. They just have caps. So as of September, we can only have 10 stores. And then post September until next September, we can have an additional 20 stores.
Yeah.
And after September 2021, we can have an additional 45 stores. So a total of 75 stores. So we're going to be very busy in Ontario. That's going to be the focus going forward for sure.
So as a consumer, and I go to a lot of stores, probably more than most people, because I like to just see what they look like and see, you know, what the staff are like, that sort of thing. Why would I go to Canna Cabana over somebody else? What's your USP? What's your, you know, what makes you guys unique and draws customers in?
So, you know, I've personally been in the cannabis industry for about 11 years now due to my connection with accessories. So
yeah.
We knew our customer for over a decade. We didn't design the Canna Cabana concept with a plan of that, you know, we're catering to only one particular clientele. We understand our customer very clearly. We've served this customer for 10 years and we speak to them directly. So, you know, on that methodology, that's how Canna Cabana was built, on that particular methodology. So we positioned ourselves as the one-stop shop of cannabis. So when you walk into a cabana, you know, you are not just a welcome for cannabis, but we have several touch points to talk to you about consumption accessories. So and you know how to pair what goes with what. The concentrates accessories. The accessories line is has so much depth that, you know, for our customer, the education is required. And it's a big upsell opportunity as well for the business, right? And margins are tough in cannabis, like we all know. They're getting better and they're stabilizing, but with that addition of accessories, it takes it to the next level. So our shop has several different touch points to talk to the customers to pair accessories with cannabis. And lastly, you know, we are also trying to connect customers with brands. That's one of our major focus. And that's because, you know, there's the marketing is so restrictive in cannabis. So we're really trying to educate customers on this, on the various brands that are available in Canada. So they get to know and they get to pick their favorites and they get to develop upon what their preferences, like what they like. So when you come to a Canna Cabana, you get that, you get to see the branding opportunity of what's what. And more importantly, you know, you get that one-stop shop experience, all in one experience.
Would it be safe to assume that your biggest competitor is the legacy market?
Totally.
Licensed. And how do you guys, I guess, approach that? It's probably like 80% of the consumers out there, presumably. I don't know what the numbers are, but I'm assuming it's high. How do you deal with that? And what do you think will happen over the next few years?
So the numbers are high. They're still very, very high. You know, for my liking anyway, or for the people in the legit industry, you know, the numbers are aggressive. So they were 70% a few months ago. And just last night, I heard the numbers have dropped down to 54% illicit market. They still have the lion's share of the market, you know, which is really a tough pill to swallow for all of us legal retailers competing with the illicit market. The good news is that the product offerings that are coming into our ecosystem now through the LPs have got a lot better.
Yeah.
So it's got better on quality. It's got better on price. And this is going to help hugely going forward to combat the illicit market and to gain more share on the legal side.
You guys were kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, I think, initially on October 17th, 2018, because your hands were tied. You were forced to sell government regulated cannabis, which especially in the beginning just wasn't as good as a lot of the legacy stuff. But I think that 2.0 has really helped you guys because a lot of the 2.0 products are really good. A lot of the edibles, the beverages, the vape pens, stuff like that. Has 2.0 made a difference for you guys, do you think?
Oh, yes, absolutely. 2.0 is a tremendous opportunity. You know, prior to January, it did not exist. So we were all waiting for when this is going to get rolled out.
Right.
And 2.0 coming in has made a drastic difference. So 21% of all of our business now is coming from 2.0. And we see this increasing. You know, just a few months ago, this was at 15% and then 17, and now it's at 21. I see this going past 30%. And just in the medium term here, not too far out. And it's a big opportunity, comes with better margins as well. So dry flower, you're looking at anywhere from 30 to 36% margins. And on the 2.0 side, we're talking about 33 to up to 42% margin.
Wow.
So that's how it's differentiated. And it's definitely helping us.
I'd say I'm a 2.0 guy. Most of the time when I go into stores, I gravitate towards those types of products. Just me, I suppose. Has COVID actually made your business better? Are people buying more cannabis right now?
So look, exactly. So sales are up. Consumption is up. You know, PPE is a bit of a challenge, but we've managed it very well throughout the stores. We are definitely seeing sales increase and stabilize, to say the very least. It's definitely not dropping down, which is a great thing. And I'm not sure if COVID has everything to do with it, or it's just better supply now, better products in the market, better pricing. So I think all in all, it has had a positive impact, but it could also just be the timing of these products being introduced. So value tier coming in, better margin, a much larger selection, and above all, better pod quality.
I think the value is there for a lot of products, not necessarily drinks. I think that drinks are a little overpriced. Like if you want to buy 12 beer or 12 cannabis-infused beverages, I'm not sure that the value is there. But for oils and stuff like that, there's great value for consumers on the legal market.
So yes.
I would assume that helps you, although they may come in less often because they're like sublingual oils are so effective and they last a long time at the price they sell at. But it's interesting to watch. Do you have any final thoughts for consumers like myself? Any, I guess, knowledge you can bestow upon us, why we should come to Canna Cabana and support you?
Like I said, you know, we've been in the industry for a long time. We're not just a capital markets play that, you know, we decided to go public and open a bunch of stores. We really know what we're doing when it comes to catering to a cannabis enthusiast, whether it comes to accessories or whether it comes to picking up the right strains to then offer it to them and at a very competitive price. I mean, that is our model. So If you haven't checked it out, I would highly welcome you to check out the Canna Cabana stores, and you'll see how the experience is differentiated. And you'll also walk out with a lot more knowledge on the brands that exist today, which does not happen in many other cannabis stores, I'd like to say. You know, we're not heavy on the digital screens. We're more personable. You know, we like to give that Cabana experience and that Cabana love to every customer that walks in. So please go check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
Nice. And as a consumer, before speaking to you, Canna Cabana, NuLeaf, to me, were brands, right? And it's nice to see the people behind it and to see the passion and the knowledge. So it's been great talking to you, Raj.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again to Raj for joining me to talk about Canna Cabana and High Tide. You can find Canna Cabana online on all the major social media streams, easy peasy. And if you want to find out more about Raj and the parent company, check out HighTideInc.com. Shout out to Jess Morin from Jesco, one of the best PR agencies in the biz, for setting this up. And if you have a story that you'd like to tell, reach out to me as well, michael@distinctmedia.ca. All right, my next interview is bound to raise a few eyebrows. Any guesses? Stay tuned, it drops soon.
Thank you for listening to the Insiders Podcast. We do our very best to be as accurate as possible, but take no responsibility for inaccurate details or facts. If a topic interests you, we're happy to have brought it to your attention, but please take the time to research the details for yourself. To find out more about Insiders Podcast and all of the work that we do, check out distinctmedia.ca.